where are we in that campaign? Rick Santorum is having to defend his views on working women. The question of contraceptives has not gone away for Barack Obama or Mitt Romney. Ron Paul is claiming that he, not Romney, is the winner in Maine because one county is snowed in and hasn't caucused yet. And Newt Gingrich, largely out of sight, he's fundraising, but his wife's hair has a Facebook page. Another week in presidential politics. Let's check in with Peter Walston, White House reporter for The Washington Post. And Peter, what jumped out at us today, a PPP poll, the public policy poll, over the weekend shows Rick Santorum in the lead nationally for the first time over Mitt Romney. What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, I think it reflects a trend, certainly, and maybe the first time in this campaign that there's now a realization that Santorum could actually win. He could win the nomination. I mean, I don't think anybody took that idea very seriously before. But after last week, when he swept those three contests and Romney began to look a lot weaker, and I think the sentiment at CPAC over the weekend, even though Romney won that straw poll, was that he hasn't closed the deal with conservatives or with Republican voters.
Well, he did win Maine, but we love Maine up here in our corner of the world, but not a lot of people voted up in Maine. And as we just heard Ron Paul saying, well, you know, one county was snowed in. Look, Mike Allen of Politico writes that the next PPP survey will show Santorum up by 10 to 15 points in Michigan. What does this tell you?
Well, you know, of course, PPP is a, you know, I think they do automated polling, so we don't know. But I think they have in the past identified trends. I think what this shows is Michigan is no different than the rest of the country now.
But it is Mitt Romney's home state.
That's the difference, is that the expectations are so high and he has such a connection there. It's his, to the extent that he has a home state, it's where he was born and where he spent a good part of his life, where his father was governor. There's a deep connection to the state. But it's very interesting because the issues, I don't know, I think we're going to see how the issues play there. I mean, he was not for the auto bailout. I think that the Republican governor of Michigan has been saying actually nice things about the auto bailout. That could be a challenge for Romney there. The economy is very bad, and he's had a hard time connecting with working-class voters, and there are many of those in that state who vote in a Republican primary.
Well, it's not for lack of trying. This past weekend, he declared he is severely conservative. Now, Rick Santorum sent out a fundraising email declaring Romney severely mistaken about being severely conservative. Rush Limbaugh said, I've never heard anyone say they were severely conservative before. Molly Ball in The Atlantic said it was like describing conservatism as a disease. And Mark Lieberman, who's a linguist at the University of Pennsylvania, said the top five words that usually follow severely are disabled, depressed, ill, limited, or injured. Now, look, thank goodness no one is parsing my words. But in that phrase, severely conservative, do you see him, as you said, trying to, you know, he's directing that fire at Rick Santorum?
I suppose so. I mean, I it's kind of a classic Romneyism where he's trying to say something to win over his crowd, but in fact sends a signal that he didn't intend to send, I suppose.
Peter Walston, White House reporter for The Washington Post. We've been parsing the political candidates this week in review, sort of. And Peter, Rick Santorum, as we said, he's ahead of Mitt Romney in at least one national poll. And a lot of his comments are, you know, having a bigger focus now. He got into a little flap with feminists on ABC yesterday. He said his wife wrote the section of his book, It Takes a Family. And in that section, it implied that women, like his wife, felt pressured by radical feminism to work outside the home. Let's listen.
Well, that section of the book was co-written, if you want to be honest about it, by my wife, who is a nurse and a lawyer. And when she gave up that practice and she gave up, nursing to raise a family, I mean, she felt very much that society was sort of, in many cases, looked down their nose at that decision. And all I've said is, in talking with my wife and others like her who've given up their careers, that they should be affirmed in their decision like everybody else.
In other words, Peter, Rick Santorum saying, those were my words, but they really weren't my feelings. They were the feelings of my wife. And, you know, people on the Sunday shows came back to him and said, well, my wife and my sister and my daughter and my mother all said that it, you know, was feminism was about having a choice. Do you think this sticks?
Not in the Republican primary. I don't. Yeah. I mean, I think if anything, if you're being accused of of somehow defending women who work in the home, then that's probably viewed as an elite liberal media attack on a true conservative. That would be how a lot of conservative voters would interpret it. So I think it probably winds up helping Santorum. That's just my guess. Santorum in a Republican primary.
Yeah, and some of Romney's issues. Let's go back to that. Still being dogged on contraception. Several Boston Globe columnists pointing out this weekend that, in addition to supporting the day after pill for rape victims, this was something as governor he said in his heart of hearts he felt that Catholic institutions, Catholic hospitals, should be able to give the day after so-called rape pill to women if they wanted it. That in addition to that, when he was running for governor in 2002 and then later as governor, he never said anything against the state's mandate that Catholic institutions like hospitals provide birth control in their insurance plans. He never raised it, Massachusetts being one of the many states that has that. So he's being dogged a little bit on this, as is, you know, President Obama. Roman Catholic priests criticized the president's compromise in church yesterday, saying that now Catholic institutions can get the contraceptives to their employees through some other insurance avenue. So both are still being attacked. Do you think this is going to have staying power?
Well, it's interesting because neither Romney nor Obama really particularly enjoys talking about religion, each for their own different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an issue that I think neither would like. And if this is a winds up being a general election of Obama versus Romney, then I think it probably doesn't have too much staying power. And I do think politically where the White House was coming from on their kind of walk back or addendum or fix, whatever you want to call it, last week, is that they wanted to please the kind of centrist or even liberal Catholics that were criticizing the original rule. I think that surprised the White House. That wasn't where they wanted to be on it politically. And I think that they've pretty much neutralized that. And they don't mind. They seem not to mind a fight against the Catholic bishops.
Well, but both Romney and Obama, I think you're right, would rather keep the topic to the economy and what each could do. But I'm wondering if there's another culture issue that's looming. We mentioned the CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Committee meeting this past weekend. Wayne LaPierre of the National Rifle Association was one of the speakers. Let's listen to just a couple of his thoughts.
If you don't remember anything else I say today, write this down. This is the most dangerous election in our lifetimes. If Obama wins, we'll go to our grave mourning the freedom that will be lost.
Yeah, telling people there that President Obama wants to take away their guns. Is this going to make its way back?
Yes, I think that that's a very interesting, it was a fascinating speech. We were discussing it here in the newsroom this morning, maybe one of the most interesting speeches of that whole conference.
Hmm.
I mean, it was a, he used the term conspiracy. He talked about Obama has a conspiracy to turn his entire second term into something that to take away, to end Second Amendment rights. I mean, that, you know, the NRA obviously has an enormous amount of money. They have the ability to spend it in elections to drive a certain segment of the electorate. They could have enormous influence, and that kind of speaks to part of the narrative that conservatives are trying to use against Obama. I think that we might, you know, in addition to all of the super PACs and all the stuff we know about that's going to be happening in this campaign, I think the NRA, I don't think we should forget that the NRA, it sounds like it's going to be playing a pretty big role.
Well, and last time they did, when the president ran and gun shops were selling out of guns because of this rumor President Obama was going to do something, he never did. Look, Paul Krugman writes in the New York Times that for decades, the GOP has won elections by appealing to social and racial divisions, only to turn after victory to deregulation and tax cuts for the wealthy. Over time, the strategy created a base that really believed in all this hokum, that's Paul's word, and now the party elite has lost control. If guns and contraceptives and these things keep coming to the center instead of jobs in the economy, do you agree with Paul Krugman?
I don't know whether I agree with him or not, but I've been thinking about this, and it's interesting that everybody wants to say that the economy is going to drive this election and that this is going to be about jobs and the economy. But if you think about how human beings think about issues, I mean, social issues, people react viscerally to social issues. You have a view one way or the other, no matter who you are, on these kinds of issues. When it comes to the economy, you can kind of make an intellectual decision. You know, do I support bailing the bailout? Do I support tax increases for this group of people? That's a very intellectual decision. When it comes to these visceral questions, I think that really, it always works in driving voters. I mean, people, there are a lot of people who would never vote for a pro-choice candidate, and there are a lot of people who would never vote for an anti-abortion candidate. So those are visceral choices that have always been around.
Peter Walston, White House reporter for The Washington Post, weighing in on this campaign trail. As we mentioned, Ron Paul is still waiting to hear if he thinks he won in Maine. He certainly did quite well, but he says one county has to weigh in. And the National Review is saying it's time for Newt Gingrich to get out. We'll keep an eye on all those storylines. Peter, thanks so much.
Well, you're welcome. It was fun.